Hello, this is Steve Grenville. I'm a visiting fellow at the Lowy Institute. It's my pleasure today to welcome Hatib Bastri, who is, his friends know him as Dede, a good friend of Australia, who's here for the mini update on Indonesia at the Lowy Institute taking place today. My first question today is on the role of economics and economies in this long series of presidents who you have observed since the 1960s until today, starting with President Suharto and now with President Jokowi. What's the role of economics and how have the economists interacted with the presidents?
Well, first, I think the role of economics is always central on the development in Indonesia because starting from President Suharto until today to President Jokowi, the main issue on Indonesia is always about the job creation and poverty. So economic is a very central issue. Now the question is how the economists, the economic team, would interact with the president. I think we have to look at this issue from the different political setup as well. Under Suharto, he was an authoritarian. Under the authoritarian regime, if you want to launch an economic reform or you want to do things, that's probably much easier comparing to doing the reform under the democratic system. Because under Suharto, for example, once you get the ear of the president, you could implement reform, whatever reform that is, even though the very radical line one, like what Ali Wardana did back on, Ali Wardana is a former minister of finance back on 1986, when he abandoned the customs because the case of corruption. And he replaced this custom with the SGS, the Swiss companies at the time. I could not imagine this could happen today under the democratic system because people will criticize the ministers, the presidents, but this could be done. That's a good thing. This could be done at the time because Suharto was an authoritarian. That's the first one. The second one, if you look at the effectiveness of the fiscal policy, because everything was really centralized in Jakarta. So once the government made a decision on something, the fiscal allocation is always very effective until the lowest level because the penalty and also the reward is quite clear. But nowadays, after the 1998 under the SPY, the Megawati, Abdurrahman Wahid and also Jokowi, it's not easy doing the economic reform. Why? Because the political setup has been quite different. Even though we have a good idea, we need to sell our idea. We need to convince the president, even we get the support from the president, we need to convince colleagues in the cabinet, parliament, media, and then the people. So the process is not always easy. And related to, for example, like in the case of the effectiveness of fiscal policy, for example, we do have a problem what economists call the principal agent problem, because this local government could disobey the principle because they're directly elected by their own people. So how could you transfer money to the local government? But you cannot give a punishment for them if they don't disburse the money. So this is the thing that probably the difference of doing this economic policy under Suharto with his authoritarian regime and the current one under SPY and also. But I always said that besides all this, the technocrat's role is always very important.
When I was listening to your talk today, I was struck by your phrase speaking about your time as finance minister under President Yudhoyono, that you were humbled by the political reality and you talked about living in a third best world. I was reminded of the phrase of President Juncker from the Economic Union who said, we know what to do, we just don't know how to get re-elected afterwards. Could you just expand on this idea of humbled by political reality?
Well, in many policy recommendations that we prepared, like the economic reform, we often do not take into account the institutional setup, the political constraint. So as if we are living in the empty space that we could do reform that whatever that we want to do, like under Suharto. But I think the political institution, the political constraint is quite different now. So my argument is we probably, if you want to do reform, we have to work within constraint. Now, we cannot blame the constraint in a short period of time. So we focus on the so-called the best fit rather than best practices. But on the long term, we focus on the so-called the best practices.
When you were talking about Indonesia's growth rate today, you quoted 5% as being really quite good compared with other countries. But when President Jokowi came to power, he was talking about 7%. I wonder what you could say about the difference between 5% growth and 7% growth.
It's quite different because 1% growth will absorb 400,000 people. So if your economic growth is only about 5%, you could only create a jobs about 2 million, but it's probably, our effort to lower the unemployment would be very difficult. So like it or not, you have to achieve the 7% economic growth in order to produce jobs to overcome the problem of poverty. But it still requires the improvement of the productivity of doing the reform. At this stage, unfortunately, the world economy is not really helping us. Yeah, but somehow, if we continue with doing reform, I believe that gradually we can achieve that level, probably go to 6% at least.
Now, who were the president's main economic advisors? We've all noted with pleasure the return of Sri Mulyani to the job of Minister of Finance. Where is President Jokowi turning for his advice on economics?
It's a good question because the honest answer is I don't know. And I don't think anybody knows about this to answer this question, because I think President Jokowi is quite independent. He always believed with his own team to sometimes come up with the number, including the target of the tax revenue, of this GDP growth, etc. But of course, there is a role of people like Sri Mulyani. With her return to the MOF, she immediately rationalized the budget. So at this stage, probably Sri Mulyani will just focus on doing these things at the Ministry of Finance. But probably we hope in the near future, she could to become a partner for the president on doing this economic reform, but probably not at this stage.
And one of the constraints that you mentioned is the international environment. Can you say more about how helpful or unhelpful that is for Indonesia?
Unfortunately, we are living in a very uncertain world with the weak economic progress in Europe, not robust economic growth in the US, slowing down of China. But this have an impact, especially on the external sector, especially country like Indonesia, because 60% of our export is energy and commodity related. So slowing down of China have an impact on us, both on the volume of export and also on the prices. This will hit this, impact on our economic growth, on the government revenue.
Sri Mulyani's first priority seems to be the budget. How serious is the budget issue?
It's very serious because I think the initial target was just too ambitious, because they put the target to increase of tax revenue by 48%, including the revenue come from tax amnesty. But the realization of the tax collection until July was minus 7%. So you could imagine, there's a huge shortfall on the tax revenue. At the same time, the government already expanded their spending, especially on infrastructure. So like it or not, she has to cut the budget.
What a pleasure to see you here at the Lowy Institute.
Pleasure,
again, and
Steve.
We look forward to the next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Pleasure.